Under 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within just one day. The right candidates are out there. This is how you find them. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. We're so confident that ZipRecruiter will get you better results than anywhere else. We'll let you try it free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talk. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talk. ZipRecruiter.com/talk.
It's a travel day for the Dodgers and Astros as they head to Los Angeles for Game 6 of the World Series, although both teams may still be recovering from Game 5.
Sunday night's Game 5 lasted a record 5 hours, 17 minutes, featured 6 lead changes, 7 home runs between the two teams, and so many twists and turns, so many of those you-gotta-be-kidding-me moments, like a few of the middle innings where the teams almost mirrored each other during some of those lead changes.
These are hard-fought games.
Houston manager A.J. Hinch, a sentiment echoed by Dodgers skipper Dave Roberts.
You're not going to expect those guys to lay down, and obviously you saw what our guys did tonight and competed to the last out.
The series now returns to L.A. for Game 6 Tuesday, Halloween. It could be the Houston Astros' first ever world title. Jim Roop, Los Angeles.
Even when he recovers from injury, Chicago Bears linebacker Jarrell Freeman won't be seeing action. He's been suspended 10 games for a second violation of the league's policy against performance-enhancing drugs. I'm Richard Johnson.
Hey, at our home, winter nights are complicated. Either I end up freezing,
or I'm sweating.
Hi, I'm Missy Tannen.
And I'm Scott Tannen. We founded Boll & Branch to bring you the world's most comfortable sheets.
Made from 100% organic cotton.
We've created the world's first luxury flannel bedding, and they're only available for a limited time.
They're guaranteed to keep everyone the perfect temperature.
Because we sell directly to you at BollandBranch.com, you don't pay middleman markups. They're half the price and twice the quality.
Everyone who tries Boll & Branch sheets loves them, even three U.S. presidents.
Try our flannel sheets for 30 nights. If you're not impressed, send them back for a full refund.
Last year, they sold out in just a few weeks, so do not wait.
Go to BollandBranch.com today for $50 off your first set, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP. That's $50 off, plus free shipping right now at BollandBranch.com. Promo code SLEEP.
Spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code SLEEP.
Hey, I'm Brant. Maybe you've heard us talking about MediShare on the radio or heard people saying how they're really thankful for MediShare. And you're like, okay, what exactly are you talking about? Hey, it's a great question. So here's what it is. MediShare is a nationwide community of Christians who share each other's medical costs. Here's why it's grown so much. MediShare costs about half what other healthcare programs cost. It's flexible, too, so you can pick a plan that fits your monthly budget, and you get to choose your own doctor from one of America's largest networks. Something else people really appreciate? You don't have to pay for procedures or prescriptions that go against your beliefs. And you know what the best part is? It works. And it's worked for more than 20 years. People who've experienced catastrophic health bills get their needs met. People pray for each other. MediShare is a nonprofit, faith-based ministry, and it could be a huge blessing to you. Here's how you can find out more. Call 866-88-BIBLE, now available in Montana. That's 866-88-BIBLE. Call 866-88-BIBLE.
The following paid program is furnished by Common Ground. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff.
This is Common Ground with John Tassone on your station for Talkin' Business AM 790. Call John now at 437-5000 or toll free 1-888-345-0790. Common Ground, highlighting the positive contributions made by the labor community on your station for Talkin' Business AM 790. Now, here's John Tassone.
Welcome to Common Ground AM 790. I'm your host, Sean Tassone. Hopefully our union brothers and sisters are out there today putting that power back on. Number of people still without power in Rhode Island. I think the last number I saw was about 120,000 people were out of power. But hopefully we had no fatalities during this storm, but you never know. Tommy Cute's in the house. Tommy is the president, business manager of the RIPTA 618, 618A, Paratransit, Lincoln Fire. What else?
Warwick, Johnston, Jamestown School Bus.
All the bus drivers. And Tommy, welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here once again, John. Thank you for having me on.
So, Tommy, I want to tell you a couple of things that have raised their head in the media and also in the newspaper. One, I want to talk to you about the new CEO of Ripta. I know they're doing this intergalactic search, and they think they may have a finalist from the moon, is that, or the Mars?
Well, they've been out there, as you know, Lieutenant Colonel Ray Studley retired out of the state police, and he was the CEO over there for almost the past 5 years. And both parties decided to move on, and Ray's working for the Mayor of Warwick, Mayor Avedisian, in a capacity of Chief of Staff. And for my members, we want to wish Ray all the best. He was a consummate professional in dealing with us, and we just want to wish him all the best. As far as the new search goes, they've hired a consultant firm to come in, put out you know, what they were looking for in a leader, a new leader of RIPTA. And I had input on that. Obviously, our concerns are related to keeping transit public, mass transit public, and RIPTA in public hands, and our ability to continue our collective bargaining rights concerning pension, health care, wages, and working conditions. They're in the final stages, I believe, of picking a new or selecting a new CEO. And probably by the first of the year, they'll have someone else in place. Right now, Amy Patine is acting Chief Executive Officer. And Amy and I converse quite frequently during the week. If something comes up, she's always, phone's always available to me. Hmm. So I appreciate that.
So, Tommy, it must be frustrating for you. You've been there
38 years.
38 years. And a number of people have come and gone. And it's very difficult to have continuity between the union and management if, in fact, 4 or 5 years, it's always a turnaround.
That can be difficult, as you remember Mr. Odimwe, who was hired at the end of the Kachiri administration. His tactics and his motivation was, I believe personally, was to put RIPTA on the beach, bankrupt it, to turn it over to private hands. He come from the private sector, and they would love to get their hands on an operation like RIPTA for the value. And of course, that includes pensions and a decent living wage and good working conditions that we fought for 104 years with our local union, Division 618.
But there's Mescola, Beverly Scott,
correct,
Dimwe, the colonel, lieutenant colonel who just left. So that's, what, 4 or 5 in just the past 15 years?
Well, Beverly Scott came in 96, and she stayed until 2002. Al Mescola was someone that Beverly brought down from New York Transit to run the maintenance side of RIPTA, and he ended up staying there from 2002 to 2011 when he finally left.
Mm-hmm.
So prior to that, there was mostly promoted from within. And, you know, ever since Bill Trevitt was the general manager, he was the last one that was promoted up through the ranks.
Mm.
Everyone else has come from the outside.
Have you grown, Tom, as far as union members?
Right now, we're stable. We're about 1,347 members, including retirees. And right now, you know, RIPTA is constantly hiring, but they're mostly the backfill positions that have been left vacant. So right now, we're at 1,347 members, and... It's I'm proud to be their president and their leader, and it's been a great run for me over the years working with such fine people as my union members and staff.
What about the paratransit side of it, Tom? That has been something that has grown and that continues to grow. You know, they have Logisticare,
right,
who's in the state running the schedule, I'll put it, you know, for your people to go out and pick up the handicapped or the elderly. How is that working out?
Well, it's been a terrible situation with Logisticare from our perspective, from the labor union's perspective, because they have taken non-emerging medical trips basically out of RIPTA.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing mostly the Americans with Disability Act pickups and drop-offs. But the real threat coming forward, John, is going to be from Uber and Lyft. These two companies are branching out into the paratransit area with drivers that aren't trained to deal with many of the situations that have to do with specialized transportation. Now, at RIPTA, our drivers receive comprehensive training and sensitivity training, how to handle passengers with that might be amputees or diabetics or people that go into dialysis, mentally challenged individuals that go to workshops. Our drivers are trained in that, and they're hired with a sense of empathy that they're there to serve our most vulnerable population. And we have top-notch equipment, top-notch dispatch capabilities. And again, our drivers are drug and alcohol tested. They're truly vetted through criminal background checks. And, you know, they're great, great workers. But the threat is there from privatization with companies that will come in, and they're only there for the dollar. They'll promise public officials, we'll save you, you know, millions of dollars on operation costs. But in all fairness, the state and the federal government are purchasing the vehicles. So the only thing they're providing is basically the management service. And in case of in our case, where there's benefits in place, they'd have to assume those benefits if they came in as a manager or a contract. Now, if they took the work totally private, you're talking about a subservient. They pay their people nothing. They don't have any decent wages. They don't have decent health care coverage. They'll offer the bare minimum and forget about having pension rights. Hmm. And, you know, we stand behind our paratransit operators. They're fine, hardworking employees of RIPTA who service our most vulnerable population that need rides.
So an Uber driver, does he get his assignments from LogistiCare?
Yes, I believe they do. They post them up for selection. But right now they're using small firms that have sedans or vans, some equipped with wheelchair lifts, some are not. Some of the horror stories I've personally heard are folks in wheelchairs that have been stranded. When a car pulls up, it doesn't have a lift. It's not a wheelchair van. It's just a regular sedan. And the driver says, well, can you get in the back seat and I'll fold your wheelchair up? Now, what kind of service is that, John? That's insulting. And not only for the person who's maybe having to go for a medical appointment or going to a job, but it's just a lack of care, only to save a few bucks, to put money in the hands of people who are only interested in profit versus service. That's the dividing line between public and private.
You know, I think that's where people fail to realize that RIPTA is a service.
That's correct.
Service.
Absolutely.
It's not supposed to be making money. It's supposed to be breaking even and giving the people the service that they need. Right. I'm going to give you a story when we come back, because we're going to take a break in a minute, about my father and what they did with my father, LogistiCare, when they dropped him off at an elderly housing complex. It was bizarre to me that they even did it. I complained. It went in one ear and out the other ear. But the problem is that not only is there my family who has had issues, but there's hundreds of families who've had issues. And the beat just keeps going on. It just keeps going on. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Common Ground, AM 790. I'm your host, Sean Tassone. We'll be right back.
AM 790 Talk and Business Traffic runs on Dunkin' Donuts classic bacon, egg, and cheese croissant sandwiches. Now two for $5.
Well, we moved out that disabled vehicle on 95 southbound at 6 West at 22B. That's still keeping you slow, though, as you come out of the S-curves into downtown. Keeps you busy as well on 146 southbound from a little bit ahead of Admiral Street all the way into the split. 95 North and 195 West moving along just fine as you're coming into Providence. I'm Rich Teeter with your Right Now Traffic.
Sponsored by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam is clinically proven to relieve leg and foot cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at Rite Aid Pharmacy or TheraWorksRelief.com.
United Food and Commercial Workers Union, Local 328, serves the collective bargaining needs of over 11,000 workers. Local 328 represents workers in retail, food, credit unions, food service at universities and public schools, as well as healthcare, transportation, and manufacturing. Local 328 is proud of its relationship with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society as one of its most prolific benefactors, raising close to $1 million for research. Local 328 members also serve the needs of those in need with Thanksgiving food baskets and gifts for children at Christmas. It pays to belong to Local 328.
Navigant Credit Union believes that time should be spent with family and friends rather than bankers. That's why Navigant Credit Union offers Journey Rewards Checking. You can open your new account online at NavigantCU.org. That's easy. When you sign up for e-statements, use direct deposit, and make a minimum of 12 debit card transactions a month, you'll earn a high annual percentage yield, and your ATM fees will be refunded up to $25 a month. Call 233-4700 or stop by any Navigant Credit Union branch.
Cool.
Hi, this is Dave Campbell, president of Cool Air Creations. In 1993, I started Cool Air with one employee, a passion for the business, and the integrity to do what I promised. Today, with a team of over 40 professionals, the same passion and integrity still holds true. At Cool Air Creations, we take your image seriously. After all, why would you trust that to just anyone? I've built the most advanced production facility in the industry and put together the largest product selection available, all to provide you the best screen-printed, embroidered, or laser-decorated merchandise you can find. And since all decoration is done in-house, our art department can ensure your logo's integrity remains true from product to product, time after time. Something our competition doesn't even understand. Take control of your company or organization's image with Cool Air Creations. Call 401-769-7755. That's 401-769-7755. Or on the web at morethantees.com. Cool Air Creations, your source for all things promotional.
Cool Air. Make you look great.
For the Bloomberg Business of Sports Report, I'm Michael Barr. Alibaba's executive vice chairman, Joe Tsai, has agreed to buy 49% of the Brooklyn Nets from Russian billionaire Mikhail Prokhorov. According to people familiar with the matter, the deal for the NBA team is valued at a record $2.3 billion. The agreement also gives Tsai the right to buy the remaining stake of the team in 2021. 12 lucky New England Patriots fans can get their own custom-designed Tom Brady Aston Martin Signature Edition. According to ESPN, the UK car maker plans to market just 12. See what they did there? 12 is Brady's jersey number. It will be a convertible that will have the signature TB12 logo on the Vanquish S Volante model. You can get it in any color as long as it's bluish black, or as they call it, ultramarine black. The price tag, $360,000. And that is a Bloomberg Business of Sports report. I'm Michael Barr.
There's absolutely nothing traditional about my small business. And when it comes to technology, I need someone who understands my unique needs. That's where my Dell Small Business Technology Advisor comes in. With one phone call, he sets me up with tailored products and services. And when my advisor is focused on my tech, I can focus on my small business.
Get end-to-end solutions with the help of a Dell Advisor, including PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Call an advisor today at 877-BY-DELL.
Home isn't just a place, it's a feeling that you're safe to enjoy the things that matter most. ADT lets you take that feeling with you, whether you're at home, your business, or online. We help keep you safe with security systems, home automation, alarms, and surveillance, so you can feel at home wherever you are. Go to ADT.com to get that feeling for less than a dollar a day. ADT, home, safe home.
Welcome back to Common Ground AM 790. I'm your host, Sean Tassone. Tommy Cute's in the house, and Tommy's the president and business manager of the RIPTA 618 Union on Longfellow Street. Tommy, welcome, and thank you for joining us today. It's always a pleasure to have you on, a man of 38 years of service and a wealth of knowledge.
You're too kind, John, but it's always a pleasure to be with you. I just want to expound on a point that you made about, you think it was your father?
Mm-hmm.
LogistiCare is a company that came into Rhode Island in 2014, and they're taking huge profits out of this state. And what they do is only provide a brokerage service. And some of the horror stories, just like the one you were describing, like it's just inconceivable that $14 million got shifted from RIPTA. RIPTA lost $14 million when LogistiCare came in. So you can see that that $14 million, which was providing non-emergency medical trips with professionally trained drivers, on time, safe, reliable transportation, now they make you jump through hoops to get your ride. And when the ride shows up, if it shows up, it may not be the correct vehicle, or the driver may be of questionable character or abilities or skills. So That's the difference about service that you related to earlier. Mm-hmm. We're in a service-related industry. Transit is all about service. Mm. And as the population is getting older, folks need the specialized transportation which RIPTA provides. And at a high level of service, five-star quality service, versus you never know who's going to pull up. And in what condition is the vehicle going to be in? Is it going to be the right vehicle? Mm. Is the person behind the wheel been truly vetted and drug and alcohol tested? Do they know how to run the equipment if there's a wheelchair lift? You put your safety in the hands of these people, and they're not necessarily professional drivers, but they are at RIPTA.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you what happened to my dad. Logistic care. He was brought into dialysis. Went in early. Finished early. They put him in the vehicle. They took him home. They dropped him off. Not anyone calling my mother and said that he was 2 hours early. My father had a little bit of dementia.
It's criminal.
Dropped him off. He sat on the bench of an elderly housing complex. And my mother just happened to look out the window and saw my father sitting on the bench.
Absolutely.
I went off my rocker. Off my rocker. But it happens all the time.
That's correct.
All the time. And we put up with it. We should not put up with it.
It's a service industry. You're absolutely right.
I don't get it. The people at the top, but you know something, Tom? If it was their parent, their mother, their father that this was done to, they see how fast it got fixed.
That's right.
How fast it got fixed. And the amount of money that they're raping the state of Rhode Island and the poor quality of service. Poor. I can't even use the word I want to use on the radio. It's deplorable. It's disgusting. And it's downright a shame. They should all be ashamed of themselves.
These are taxpayer dollars that fund this. And a lot of it comes through Medicare, as you well know, Medicare and Medicaid. It's a shift of money from the public side to private contractors. It's a shell game. What they do is they take money away from good-paying jobs with good equipment, fantastic facilities and capabilities of dispatch and control and management, and they shift it to a company that's only goal is to take as much money out of Rhode Island as they possibly can with providing the least amount of service to the citizens who need it the most.
Yeah,
That's not good government. That's not efficient. That's criminal.
Mm. Tommy, let me ask you another question, too, because I've been reading some stuff in the paper about the bottom of the State House looking to do something with a bus terminal or across the street from where the State House is. Where is that at? Is that going by the wayside right now because they're looking for a head?
No, I believe that, as you know, in 2014, there was a bond referendum passed, and it dedicated funds for two hubs. One at the train station opposite the State House and the other one by the Rhode Island Hospital area. The first one was going to be closer to the Jewelry District, but it never really materialized. So now they're going to move that over towards Rhode Island Hospital to create a southern hub. The discussion has been around where they're going to put it up at the train station. And originally it was proposed to go over the tracks. But I guess that's not going to work. And then now I believe they want to realter Francis Street or Gaspy Street to a configuration to make it work. They had an RFP go out, and I think only one person came in and been on the project. They wanted to be private-public management of the facility.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's been left off. And the money's there. As soon as they find a site, and I imagine we're probably going to hear more about it after the first of the year. The governor's committed through her own words to getting something completed over there, and I'm sure that something will get built. And it's in the right place as far as the train station, intermodal services, linkage to rail.
Mm-hmm.
Now with Providence is one of the busier Amtrak stations in the Amtrak system. as well as the MBTA commuter rail that goes through there. So we have the capability now to build off that platform, as well as public parking in the Providence Place Mall, and also the parking garage that was rehabbed at the train station,
right,
to create a big park and ride site there. I'm looking forward to it. I think that's going to dictate the future of how the service is going to be constructed in Providence. Kennedy Plaza is going to have another makeover starting sometime next year, where they're going to use mostly Washington Street, and they're trying to get it, for as far as I last heard, to be just bus only, and maybe out to the tunnel so we could create a bus corridor there. So there are some exciting things going on, John. They're all going to happen at once, and I know they get the downtown service connected they want to have with six super bus stops, along with identical marked vehicles to identify that line, and all the technology goes with it, on-demand LED readouts about where your bus is, if it's delayed, if it's on time, and all that good stuff.
I'm not sure if you know this, but I'm going to ask you this question anyways about ridership. The amount of riders now that take the RIP the bus, do you happen to know?
I think it's been declining. The last figures I had saw that they were down somewhat, but they attributed that to the fact that the free riding program had been discontinued, which is now, since this past July, back in, but I don't know what the latest numbers are, but again, you know, they fluctuate. The economy gets a little better.
Yeah.
People who normally might take the bus to work now might be driving back to work because they have a few more dollars in their pocket. Plus, when the price of fuel drops, folks drive more, and the gas did drop considerably this past year.
Right, right. What about the new facility on Elmwood Avenue that you have, RIPTA has? You have across the street from that is the main facility where you guys fix the buses, clean the buses.
Right.
Where is that? I know at one time they had talked about taking other state vehicles in, fixing them. Are they doing that, or did they scrap that idea?
No, they're still repairing heavy class A and B DOT trucks. And right now, I believe they've just picked up, I think, the Bridge and Turnpike vehicles.
Oh, okay.
Which is a cost saving to the state, because we have three shifts of mechanics. We have a body shop. We can do from the tires up.
Right.
They can repair anything over there. They're outstanding, talented men and women that are in that maintenance department.
Yeah, because you know somebody was just mentioning that to me. I guess it was a couple of months ago about the DOT trucks, heavy equipment, and I told them I don't know. It was on the radar that they were going to do it, but
well, during like a snowstorm. You know, when they're doing plowing with those vehicles, things break.
Yeah.
And they can pull off the freeway right into the RIPTA facility on Elmwood Avenue. It's right 2 minutes away from the freeway, and gets a pot welded or replaced, or, you know, our service truck can go out and assist them if they broke down on the road. So they have tremendous capabilities, and the men and women that work in that maintenance department are all highly trained professionals.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to get back to another thing that you said about training and about the amount of training that your guys have to go through in order to whether work on the paratransit side or the other side. I think that's where a lot of the unions, a lot of the non-union companies fail, because they don't give the proper training to their employees like the unions do.
Right.
And the apprenticeship programs.
Right.
How long does a guy who comes in, or a lady who comes in, and wants to become a bus driver? Give me an overview of the training.
Well, they start in paratransit, and they'll spend a week with the main instructor on their driving skills and how to run a wheelchair lift and all the protocols and procedures that go along with being a professional paratransit operator. And then they go into what they call green training. There's different levels of training till they complete probably, I would say, a good 4 to 5, maybe 6 weeks, depending on how long the van operator progresses. When they transfer over to fixed route, that's another 3 to 4 weeks of training. And some folks may not have air brakes, so they're going to have to get an air brake endorsement attached to their commercial driver's license. So there might be an additional week or two of training. So call it 5 or 6 weeks of, again, fixed route training where they take you out and they show you every route in the system. They make you familiar with all the transfer points, all the points of interest, park and ride lots, various points along the line where hospitals are. Of course, we have automatic bus stop announcements. But in case the machine isn't working, we're responsible for the ADA community to make sure that they can hear us make a street crawl out or a destination.
All right, Tom, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about bus design. We've had a lot of accidents, a lot of fatalities. I want to talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Common Ground AM 790. I'm your host, Sean Tassone. We'll be right back.
AM 790, talk and business traffic runs on Dunkin' Donuts classic bacon, egg, and cheese croissant sandwiches. Now 2 for $5.
Still busy 95 southbound from Smithfield Ave all the way down past the Providence Place Mall. That's slowing you down a bit now. You're a little bit better coming in on 146 south, but you're still slow from Admiral Street in. 195 westbound, a little hung up as you get to the split. 95 north looking good from the zoo all the way up into downtown. I'm Rich Tito with your right now traffic.
Wesco Oil understands the challenges that the harsh weather throws at us, and maybe the biggest is how to beat the cold and keep our homes and families warm. There's no one better than Wesco Oil, a third-generation family business who provides both heating systems and assistance. Wesco serves both Rhode Island and Massachusetts, and with a commitment to providing the best value possible, Wesco offers discounts for COD. Trust the Wesco family to heat your family this winter. Call Wesco Oil at 231-3681 or 800-411-6603.
Bringing people together, promoting the good work of everyday Rhode Islanders, focusing on the positives of this state. That's what Common Ground is all about. Common Ground is Rhode Island's only communications outlet for working people, in print, on the air, and online. Common Ground promotes the contributions of the labor community. If you want your positive message to reach thousands of readers and listeners, call 451-1305 for sponsorship opportunities. It's time to return to Common Ground. Call 451-1305.
They are everywhere, on billboards, television, even here on the radio. But when you need an attorney for a workers' compensation case, you need the law office of attorney Stephen J. Dennis.
I'm attorney Stephen J. Dennis. Workers' compensation insurance is meant to help people who are injured on the job to get the benefits that they need to pay bills and cover their expenses. But oftentimes, employers and their insurance carriers make it difficult for this to happen. Just call me. I'll take on those insurance companies for you and fight to ensure that you get the full amount that you deserve. For more than 20 years, my office has protected the rights of workers in Rhode Island. No matter how tough a case or how big the insurance company, I'm in your corner. So if you've been injured on the job or have an occupational illness, trust my office with your case.
That's the law office of Stephen J. Dennis. Visit StephenJDennis.com or call them today at 453-1355. That's 453-1355. Stephen J. Dennis is Rhode Island's workers' compensation lawyer fighting for what you deserve.
Hey, I'm Brant. Maybe you've heard us talking about MediShare on the radio or heard people saying how they're really thankful for MediShare, and you're like, okay, what exactly are you talking about? Hey, it's a great question. So here's what it is. MediShare is a nationwide community of Christians who share each other's medical costs. Here's why it's grown so much. MediShare costs about half what other healthcare programs cost. It's flexible, too, so you can pick a plan that fits your monthly budget, and you get to choose your own doctor from one of America's largest networks. Something else people really appreciate? You don't have to pay for procedures or prescriptions that go against your beliefs. And you know what the best part is? It works. And it's worked for more than 20 years. People who've experienced catastrophic health bills get their needs met. People pray for each other. MediShare is a nonprofit, faith-based ministry, and it could be a huge blessing to you. Here's how you can find out more. Call 866-88-BIBLE, now available in Montana. That's 866-88-BIBLE. Call 866-88-BIBLE.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Stephen and taught him better study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Stephen a pretty good idea. We're realizing the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, their health. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
We are there, day one. With baby names and a gift that lasts a lifetime. We are there, as you grow, protecting you and those you love. and we are there as you start your next chapter. We are with you through life's journey. We are Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. Get to know us at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
If you have a child or your grandchild in your life that falls between the ages of newborn and 17, that would benefit to up to 1 year of free college tuition, enroll now in the only guaranteed scholarship program in the country. Over 350 private colleges participate, close to 400,000 students. Visit collegeadvisorsgroup.com. Click on the Center Scholarship tab for more information regarding this fantastic program. To enroll now, College Advisors Group today, give them a call at 401-821-0080 or shoot them an email at team@collegeadvisorsgroup.com for your free application. Everyone that calls and mentioning Common Ground, this ad will receive a minimum scholarship guaranteed. Don't miss out on this amazing scholarship opportunity today. So give them a call at 401-821-0080 or shoot them an email at team@collegeadvisorsgroup.com.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's
Jerry. Welcome back to Common Ground AM 790. I'm your host, John Tassoni. Tommy Cute is in the house from RIPTA 618 Union. Tom is the business manager and the president. Welcome, Tom. Always a pleasure to have you on there. Happy smiling face that you have.
You're always very gracious, and I always love being on your show, John.
Well, thank you, Tom. Tom, I want to talk to you a little bit more about the buses. Obviously, over the past couple of years, it's not been good for the drivers. Some bad accidents have happened. Some issues of driver safety. Obviously, because of the people that sometimes ride the bus that are not the most gracious people. And I know the last time you were on, we were talking about the view in the front of the bus.
Right.
There's a blind spot or two on the bus. But I find it ironic today. When I was coming in, I went through the city of Providence, and one of your drivers was turning, and I thought somebody was talking to me in the back seat of the car. But now they have people saying, the bus is making a wide right turn.
Right.
The bus is leaving. Let's talk about that.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, John. The International Union, Amalgamated Transit Union, currently has a nationwide, actually an international because of Canada, campaign concerning this. It's called Workplace Initiative. And one of the things you just touched on was the bus design. Now, when I started driving a bus 38 years ago, we drove GMC coaches, which were called fishbowls, because the whole front of the bus was all glass and you had great visibility. The design of buses today, there's an A pillar to the left of the driver, and sometimes there's two of them separated by a few inches, along with the mirror. And that's created a blind spot for bus drivers making left-hand turns. And if a pedestrian is crossing, walking about, most people walk up between 3 and a quarter miles per hour, a bus is turning about that rate of speed, the blind spot's incredible. And I just want to point out one thing. There was a tragedy that happened in Kennedy Plaza involving a Peter Pan bus.
Mm-hmm.
A young woman, prime of her life, was struck and killed. Horrible situation. The International sent in, at the request of the union that represents the Peter Pan driver, it's still an Amalgamated Transit Union, and his name is Brian Sherlock. He's an international expert on bus design, and he rebuilt the accident, which helped exonerate, along with the police investigation, the driver. Now, the Peter Pan bus was an MCI coach, and you wouldn't believe how wide the blind spot was. That driver never, ever saw that woman. She walked into the path of the bus, and that was it. It's just a tragedy. We had an accident up the street from there at the corner of Exchange and Exchange Terrace a few days later. And fortunately, the pedestrian was not hurt seriously. But we had a bus operator that subsequently was disciplined and discharged. We were able to successfully argue that because of the design of the bus, she couldn't see the pedestrian crossing. And we actually reconstructed the accident with Brian Sherlock, with the aid of the International, and proved before an arbitrator that the vehicle itself contributed to the accident. So the national campaign that's going on now surrounds that, is to get transit agencies around the country and in Canada to recognize that they are the ones that purchase these vehicles, and they have some say in the design of the bus. So when they build a bus, the front of the bus is fiber. It goes on separately, and they clip on to these pillars. Well, if you could just redesign that pillar to make it smaller, then that would eliminate the blind spot. So it probably could be done for a few hundred dollars.
So Tom, let me ask you this question. If the fishbowl was a good idea, why the hell did they change it?
You got me, John. Technology, style, but that vehicle was tremendous visibility. The GMC made a great bus. And now, you know, we're all about streamlining and, you know, looks. The buses are longer now. It's with the one some of the Ripter owns are like 42 feet long. And if you put the bike rack down, that's another 5 feet.
Hmm.
So the challenges for a city transit bus operator maneuvering in tight spaces is becoming hotter. And you have to manage, you know, the space around you. And they require us to bob and weave, to look around that obstruction. And you know something, if for the slightest minute, if you're not concentrating, a catastrophe could happen. And if they would only look at redesigning the vehicles, this could be prevented. And it happens every day in every major city around the country.
You know, the other thing too, Tom, is it, you know, and I was told this going into the General Assembly, you can't legislate common sense.
No,
there's so many people today who are not paying attention, walking in the street, looking at their crazy phone, listening to music, and not pay attention where they're crossing, not crossing. Happened to me yesterday. Somebody just walked off a sidewalk.
That's correct.
Just walked off the sidewalk. Didn't bother to look to the left or the right, just walked off the sidewalk and walked right in front of my car.
It's amazing.
And then it would have been my fault.
Right.
Because they were in the crosswalk.
Right. But, you know, just to touch on this same thing, 125 years ago when the Amalgamated Transit Union was formed, one of the first national campaigns that they had was for enclosed vestibules. And they were streetcars, obviously, then.
Right.
And the motorman stood outside in the elements. In fact, one motorman actually froze to death in a Midwestern town at the controls of a streetcar because he was facing the elements. Now, they would stand out in the elements for 16, 17 hours a day because that was the length of service that they worked. And the International Union at that time supports legislation around the country to have enclosed vestibules for streetcars. So that was one of the first real tests of the strength of unionism as far as getting behind a campaign. Now we're trying to take that same concept and approach. And I got up at the transit board meeting and I proposed that this be looked at, and it was recepted, you know, the public comment was under public comment. The membership of my local union endorsed it. I had this resolution endorsed also by the state AFL-CIO, whereas we're asking for better bus design. We're asking for ergonomic seats. We're asking for climate control with to keep the fumes out of the buses and also protective barriers to keep us safe. So these are the things that are facing transit drivers, not only in bus but in rail, because there are some that are exposed in rail.
Yeah.
But it's a national campaign.
And I want to talk more about that when we come back. Right. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Common Ground, AM 790. I'm your host, Sean Tassone. We'll be right back.
AM 790, talk and business traffic runs on Dunkin' Donuts classic bacon, egg, and cheese croissant sandwiches. Now two for $5.
Still pretty quiet downtown, a little slow on 95 South due to that earlier breakdown, but not too bad coming in. 95 North, 195 West, looking great as you head on into Providence. And if you're on 295 North and South between Warwick and Johnston, you're moving along at the speed limit. I'm Rich Teeter with your right now traffic.
sponsored by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam is clinically proven to relieve leg and foot cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at Rite Aid Pharmacy or TheraWorksRelief.com.
United Rentals has the equipment you need for just about any project. They rent and sell everything from forklifts and backhoes to hard hats and duct tape. Over 600 different types of equipment, in fact, plus contractor supplies. The best part, United Rentals employees will go the extra mile to help you get the job done. Whether you're a large contractor or a weekend do-it-yourselfer, for the United Rentals nearest you, visit UnitedRentals.com or call 800-UR-RENTS. United Rentals. Consider it done.
Correctional officers, like other divisions of law enforcement, put their lives on the line every day to make Rhode Island a safe place to live. Stories of officers held hostage and nearly killed give perspective to just how tough their job is. Correctional officers are locked in and forever looking over their shoulders, knowing that those with whom they spend their work shift have been locked away from the rest of society because they couldn't fit in. Correctional officers are just like you, except when it comes to going to the office, they don't sit at a desk or stand on a construction site. They work the toughest beat in the state.
Legacy Benefit Advisors brings to Rhode Island municipalities health and welfare funds and employers Call a Doctor Plus. In partnership with the Teladoc Network of Physicians, Call a Doctor Plus is a premier telemedicine provider offering quality health care alternatives to employees, union members, retirees, and their families. Call a Doctor Plus offers 24/7, 365 days a year phone or video access to board-certified licensed medical doctors in whatever state you are in 10 minutes or less for a fraction of the cost of traditional care. Doctors can diagnose and prescribe for common medical conditions, send the prescription to the pharmacy of your choice, and provide a doctor's note to the patient's primary care physician. Call Bob Dumay of Legacy Benefit Advisors at 401-868-1400 for more information. That's 401-868-1400. Again, that's Call a Doctor Plus at 401-868-1400.
Stress about planning or paying for college? Not sure how to maximize merit scholarship money? Are you concerned about paying the balance of the college tuition bill? Or do you have student loans that you are finding it difficult to pay? If you are worried about anything that has to do with planning, preparing, and paying for college, College Advisors Group is offering a 45-minute free consultation to all friends and family of Common Ground. You can take advantage of this offer by calling 821-0080. That's 821-0080, or emailing them at collegeadvisorsgroup.com. Their website is collegeadvisorsgroup.com. And the phone number is 821-0080. Anyone who takes advantage of the free consultation is also eligible to sign up for Sage Scholars Tuition Rewards Points. Tuition Rewards Points can be used at nearly 400 private colleges as discounts on undergraduate tuition. Call 821-0080 for your stress-free consultation, planning, and paying for college. Visit collegeadvisorsgroup.com.
The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers is almost as old as the use of commercial electricity. Founded in 1890 by electrical workers after an explosion in St. Louis, it's the oldest and largest union in the world. Local 99 dates back to January 1900. Today it has 1,200 affiliated members. Local 99 is committed to the community it serves, whether it's through efforts of its members working round the clock to restore power during Hurricane Sandy or its contributions to the hurricane victims through the IBEW Hurricane Relief Fund, or its recent work in the much-needed repairs to the West Little League Field in North Providence. Truly, a brotherhood in action can be a powerful thing. For more information on how you can join this great union and become part of its great history, visit them online at ibew99.org or give them a call at 401-946-9900. Welcome back to Common Ground AM 790. I'm your host, Sean Tassoni. Tommy Cute is in the house. Tommy is the president and business manager of the Local 618, the Bus Drivers Union, Amalgamated Transit Union here in Providence. And welcome again, Tommy, and thank you for coming in today.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
I want to talk about bus safety on this last segment. I was reading your workstation initiative. The seats are terrible. The conditions are terrible. The comfort is terrible. The people are terrible. The passengers, no respect. I use the Rodney Dangerfield expression. There is no respect for the bus driver, whether it's male or female. The hot, it's hot. The air conditioner doesn't work properly, most of them. Where are we going with this?
Well, I want to just address the seat. I'll take them one by one.
Yeah.
Our fleet is fairly new, and but conditions around the country are not as well as they are here at RIPTA. We've had progressive leadership at the Transit Authority that leveraged federal money to purchase buses. And the federal government pays 80% of that cost, and the state picks up the other 20%. Mm-hmm. The driver's seat is where a driver will spend between 9 and 10 hours a day through a 12-and-a-half-hour shift. Those drivers that work extra pieces of work or have a split run. We have split runs, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
So we always want to be a part of the discussion in purchasing driver's seats. And what happens with them is they have to be re-cushioned every so often. They do have, because they're air ride seats, they have shock absorbers. They need to have maintenance. So we try to stay on top of that. But the workstation that we work in, I'll go to the mirrors. The mirror on the left side of a RIPTA bus is elevated above your head. So you're looking up to it. So if you're maybe looking at your mirror every 5 to 10 seconds, you by the end of the day, your left neck, this left side of your neck, is sore because you're at an odd angle. Your head's tilted at an odd angle. So that's part of the bus design, all right? To go to the climate control, the biggest thing there, John, is when they take that apart in the back, because the engine on a transit bus is in the rear. So when they take that firewall out, that barrier, it never goes back in right. So then you're subject to the fumes coming off the engine out of the exhaust system coming into the bus and mixing with the regular clean air that's supposed to come in. It depends on your level of tolerance. I mean, some folks will pick up the slightest scent of diesel exhaust and they'll report it to the driver. Myself, I probably, because I spent my life in it, I don't pay attention that much. But if a passenger says, you know, something doesn't smell right here, I'll address it. Right. As a bus operator. So, again, our fleet is fairly new and well-maintained, but there are conditions when that air filter system will bring in fumes from the engine, and that's not unhealthy. Diesel fumes are a carcinogen.
Right.
And as far as the air conditioning heat goes, I believe ours is probably exemplary. Our staff has that up to speed. But the big concern is the air quality, the cabin filters. Are they changed frequently? And like I said earlier in the conversation here, I've been in diesel fumes all my life. I've been exposed to them, probably a detriment to my health, because they are dangerous. Mm. And but that's one of some fleets around the country might not be as well maintained as RIPTA's, plus the age of the fleet. And many companies don't have the ability to go out and purchase buses every so many. RIPTA gets a new bus order about every 2 to 3 years. Mm. They'll get 30, 40, maybe 50 new buses. So when we buy a bus order, it's a large one. And like I said, our buses are well maintained. So, but it is a problem nationwide as far as the fumes coming in and the detriment to the passengers as well as the bus operator.
Mm. What about, other things that you would be concerned about as a president of the union, that members come to you and say, you know, whether they have a blind spot, not a blind spot? I'm sure there's been a lot of conversations about the treatment of bus drivers.
Safety.
Safety.
Personal safety. We do have video cameras on the buses now, but the audio isn't available unless you activate it. You know, if there's an assault or something going on. Many transit operations do provide barriers where the driver can or the operator can elect to have the barrier closed or open. But in Europe, they have almost like a power window type barrier that if there was going to be a threatening situation to the bus operator or the motor, hit that button, it goes up immediately. Mm. And one of the things that we, unfortunately, in today's society, a lot of my drivers or RIPTA's operators get spit upon.
Really?
Yeah. If someone doesn't like, because you're collecting money, John.
Mm, yeah.
We're a de facto tax collector. You get on, you pay your bus fare, And sometimes folks won't have it, or there's a dispute over the fare, or somebody may get on that's got some personal issues going on, and they take it out on the bus driver. It's a very, very balanced situation. You could be put your own safety in jeopardy if you're not up to being streetwise to recognize some of the factors. I always personally watched everyone that got on the bus, not to be suspicious, but to verify that they weren't carrying a weapon. You don't know.
You don't know.
Just to get a good look at them to see if they were carrying something like gasoline, or some folks will bring the darndest things on buses. Mm-hmm. They'll bring canisters of gasoline. They'll bring car batteries. And those are all prohibited items on a transit bus because they're in closed space. Nice. So you have to keep an eye out. There are individuals that, for whatever reason, they've got their own mental state where, they're gonna cause trouble, and you're the one that's have to be the person most likely is going to be directed at, mm-hmm. or if they're involved with another passenger, you're going to have to intervene for that passenger's safety.
What about how many complaints do you get from bus drivers?
I get them fairly regularly, mostly suggestive, that they'd like to see some form of personal protection in the form of a barrier. Again, myself, I drove for 35 years, and I don't know how comfortable I would feel with that. But the barrier there, and a lot of drivers want to have that ability to interact with the public in a free way, not to be restricted behind a piece of glass, because that doesn't stop. The only thing that's going to prevent is putting hands on you, or maybe spitting on you.
Right.
I have been spit at during my career, and fortunately, as humiliating as it is, you have to take a step back and realize that this is a dangerous occupation sometimes, and you really try to diffuse situations by your own conduct, not argue with someone who maybe is clearly out of their mind on whatever issue. Try and desensitize the issue,
I think that's the biggest problem that your guys and ladies have, is that people don't realize how much stuff that you guys have to go through on a daily basis, whether it be spit at, yelled at, screamed at, talked fresh to. And you got to take it, unfortunately. But after a while, there's only so much you can take before you have an issue on your end.
Everyone has a tolerance point.
Yep.
And, mine personally was folks that disturbed other passengers.
Yeah.
I could deal with my end, if they got too out of hand, I'm only pick up the receiver, and I would warn the passenger. Once I pick the receiver up, the Providence police or wherever I am, the police are going to come,
Well, Tom, I want to thank you for joining us today. Love to have you back, because you're very entertaining and talking about what we're doing with our bus drivers here in Rhode Island. Tommy Q from RIPTA 618 has been my guest. You've been listening to Common Ground AM 790. We'll see you next week.
Lean on.